with today. All right. So if you're just listening, I did the drash, the Torah drash, on the same verse I'm going to be using today. But, and I got to be honest with you, what I'm going to be speaking about is not something new. But you know, it's great to be reminded of things occasionally. Even when they seem obvious, it's good to be reminded. Because sometimes we just slip back a little bit. We don't even notice it. We need someone to point out to us that we've changed a little bit. And sometimes those changes are good things. Sometimes the changes are, you know, something we should be readjusting back to where we first were. And that's okay. So, within this week's portion, we're told about the king of Israel and that Israel was going to request a king. Now, let me be clear that Moses, when he told Israel that they will be requesting a king, he was prophesying from Adonai himself, and he wasn't saying, it's okay that you request a king. He wasn't saying that, but he was saying, you are going to request a king. Adonai himself should be your king, but he knows you're going to be requesting a king. The scripture in Deuteronomy 17 tells us what the king should be like. Gives us some of the things. It tells us that it's got to be a person that Adonai appoints. You can't just pick out anybody. It has to be from the tribe that he tells them to. It tells us the king can't amass a lot of horses, a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of wives. Gentlemen, you know, why would anyone amass a lot of wives? But he, you know, it was out there at the time. So we're given these parameters for the king. And we look at it and we say, well, why does that help us even today? Now, we heard a little bit of during the drash why that helps us today, but we're going to speak about it a little bit more because it'll help us. Being like the king will help us stay on track. So let's go over and read Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. Now, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself a copy of the Torah on a scroll from what is before the Levitical Kohanim. It will remain with him, and he will read it all the days of his life in order to learn to fear Adonai his God and keep all the words of this Torah and these statutes. Then his heart will not be exalted above his brothers, and he will not turn from the commandments to the right or to the left, so that he may prolong his days in his kingship, he and his sons in the midst of Israel. Amen. So by looking at the passages here, we see the instructions for the king. But they're actually, as I said, instructions for us as well. And there are three things I'm going to bring out today that I've read here that are instructions for us. Read, remember, and be humble. I really wanted three R's. Read, remember, repent, but there was the third one was humble. I just couldn't get an R for humble. Well, repent wasn't too bad. What is that beeping? Do I hear something? Okay. It's me. So, read, remember, and be humble. Three directions for the king and three directions for us as well. So, let's start with read. Now, this could be a bit tricky for some of us because some of us, this is what I was saying, some of us wander a little bit about our reading. And I'm not just talking about stop reading, because there are a lot of times we'll read commentaries, we'll read studies, and these are fine things, and they can help us to understand a little better. But there are times where if we start reading these commentaries more than we read the word, we can start getting a little off the track. Even when the studies and the commentaries are from people that we trust, we should be in the Word more than we're into commentaries. You know? And it's easy to do, and I will make the confession that I've had to, just this week, I thought about this, and I said, you know, I am reading more commentaries than I'm reading Scripture. I need to right my ship. I need to turn my rudder so I'm back on the Word more than I am on commentary. And like I said, commentary is not bad, but it's not His Word. It's sort of like someone else's interpretation of it. I want to hear His Word directly from me. I don't want to hear Word inspired by Him. I want to hear His words. Now, there's something that's out there that describes this, and it's called simulacrum, and that's a word that means an image or representation of something or someone, and it's normally an unsatisfactory imitation or substitute. Because what happens is if we read only commentaries, what we get is this picture of what the Scripture says without seeing the Scripture, and I'm guaranteeing you that it's a little bit dimmer than what Scripture is itself. Because it's someone else's comments about it, it's their take on it, and it should be your take on it. The Ruach was given to us to read, not to read someone else. And I liken this to a little bit like Russian nesting dolls. You know those dolls that there's one inside of another, inside of another, inside of another? Well, this is sort of the same thing, where that small interior doll is God's Word to us. And commentary can be a doll around it, then a doll around that, and a doll around that. And each one of those dolls can be kind of beautiful in its own way and protective of the Word or the original doll that's inside. But what happens is that doll, the Word that's inside, you lose sight of it. Now, yeah, the outside doll might be beautiful, but it doesn't have the details, the little details that interior doll is going to have. So what's happening is you're missing out on what the artist wanted you to see. If you never look directly onto the doll, if you never look directly onto Scripture, you're missing out on what Adonai actually wants you to see. When we go into battle, do we want to go into battle with an imitation sword, or do we want the real sword? That's the Word. The Word is the sword, right? So we want the real sword when we go into battle. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through to separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, we can learn from commentaries. We can learn from studies. But they're not going to be as sharp as the original sword. So we need to get back to that original sword, the original Word. And quite frankly, in my opinion, Torah is a lot like that as well. The first five books are the Word of God and all of His commandments. Everything after that, the prophets, the writings, they're words about the first five books. Things that have happened to show us the principles of the first five books. Things that happened in the history of acting out the first five books. And they're great. You need to know them. You absolutely need to know them. But could you imagine trying to read the prophets without knowing Torah, the first five books? Or the writings without knowing the first five books? Now, can you imagine reading the New Covenant without knowing the writings and prophecy, without knowing the first five books? Let's talk telephone here. This one whispers into this one's ear, whispers into this one's ear. And what happens if you cut the line? This doesn't work. You have to read all of the word in order to get all of the word, to know what he wants you to know. We need to build up our knowledge of Scripture, all of Scripture, in order to build up our understanding, because all of Scripture is one great work. It's the Word. It's not the words. You can't separate them. It's the Word. Therefore, we have to know the Word. It's when we get to know the Word that it truly does become the light that'll shine wisdom and knowledge, the light of our path. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed to observe your righteous rulings. Knowing a part of Scripture is not truly knowing the Word. You can know by heart. You can, this passage right over here, forward and backwards. But if that's the only passage you know, you don't know the Word, because the Word is all of this. You only know that. We need to know all of this. Commentaries and writings of those who know the Word absolutely can help us, but it shouldn't be the only way we get into the Word. You know, a commentary can shed light onto his Word, onto our path even. But what is a commentary? It's a reflection of his Word. And even the best of mirrors, every time a light is reflected, loses a little bit. So, would we rather have a reflection of his Word or his Word as our light? And I think we can agree that we want his light to be our, to guide us. It's only when we read his Word that we get his Word perfect. Each time, even if the best of commentaries, it's not going to be perfect. I got to tell you, I go into commentaries and I'm looking for, I want someone to speak about this one portion. I've really been meditating on this, so let's see what they have to say about that. And it always seems that's the one thing they're not talking about. Come on. It seems so obvious, that's so important right there, but you don't want to talk about it. His Word is the perfect Word that includes everything. Psalm 19, it's starting in verse 8. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvot of Adonai are pure, giving light to the eyes. So it's important for each of us not only to learn from each other, not only to learn from commentaries, but to go back to the original Word in order to learn from the one who wrote it, Adonai himself, through the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's read. We have to read the original Word. Remember. The next thing we're called to do is remember what we read. Reading it's not enough. We have to put it within us. We have to remember it. You know, very soon after giving the first five books, the Torah, is given an instruction from Adonai about it. Only eight verses into the sixth book, which is Joshua, we're giving this instruction. Joshua 1:8. This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous and then you will be successful. We're told not to let it depart from our mouth and to meditate on it day and night, which is really just another way of saying remember it. You can't meditate on something if you don't remember it. You know, you're meditating on it, it goes this way, and what am I thinking about? I don't know, because I don't remember it. You have to be able to remember it in order to meditate on it. How many people have heard others say, I don't remember because I just didn't give it much thought? Right? Yeah. I didn't think it was important. I didn't think about it, so I don't remember. What did you say? I don't know. I didn't think about it. Well, that should not be what we do with God's word. We have to remember it, so we have to think about it. You know, when I read scripture, I got to be honest with you. You know, guys, I'm not the biggest reader in the world. My mother was an English teacher, which, I mean, like, sorry, Ma. I never picked up her reading. But I can tell you this, too. If you're reading, if you're speed reading through scripture, I'm sure you're getting through the books like this. But I bet you're not getting as much out of it. Slow yourself down when you're reading. When I read scripture, yeah, I read slow. But that's because after every couple of verses, I'm thinking about it. What did it say? What does it mean? What am I getting out of this? Ruach HaKodesh, open it up for me. What is it? What is that? It's important not just to get through reading, because you're not going to remember that. I can read a newspaper, and to be honest with you, I remember some, but I don't remember the details. Who said that? I don't know. They quoted it. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it because I didn't meditate on it. You need to meditate on the word, even as you're reading it, in order to get out of it what Adonai put into it. Remembering things means you've given it importance. And that's it. And that means we need to put it into our hearts and our minds, because Adonai's word is important to us. It says, put it in our hearts. Now, of course, today when we think about things and we say put it on our heart, we think emotions, right? It's the center for love and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what it was when the scripture was written. The heart was the center of education, center of learning, the center of thought. So when it says put it on your heart, what it really means is put it within you, think about it, meditate on it, learn it, get to know it, educate yourself about it.
Lost my place.
The Vahafta is a piece of liturgy that we say each Shabbat that comes right from the scripture, Deuteronomy 6, reminds us the importance of knowing the word. And if we look deeper into the meaning, not just knowing it, but understanding it and passing it on to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6, 5-9 says, these words which I command you today are to be on your heart, remembered. You are to teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Place them on your hearts so that it's knowledge to you and understanding. And then teach them to your children, so it's their knowledge and understanding too, passed on from generation to generation. We need to do it while we're at home and while we're on the road, when we're going to sleep and when we wake up. No matter where we are, no matter what time of the day it is, it's the right time to meditate on Scripture. Now look, guys, I understand, especially when you have a secular job. I had one of those jobs where I was crunching numbers and making decisions and had to really think about what I was doing. It doesn't mean that while I was doing that, my mind was wandering off and thinking about Scripture. But it means that I was applying Scripture to the things I was doing, and it became second nature. And when I wasn't doing my work, yeah, my mind would then be able to go to Scripture. But it means always living by it and thinking about it when you can. Incorporate it into the things that you do. David wrote many times within Psalms to remind us the importance of Scripture in our lives. Psalm 119, the longest of the Psalms, is a reminder of what the Word should mean to us. 119:11, with my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not stray from your mitzvot. I have treasured your word in my heart, so I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Adonai. Teach me your statutes. We are to have that wholehearted devotion, not just to Adonai, but to all of the word of Adonai. As verse 11 says, so that we would not sin against him. What's the best way not to sin against him? To know what sin is and to know the power he has to help us not to sin. So that is remembering his word. So we've had read, remember, and the third was be humble. Or if I really wanted it to be an R for read, remember, I would do it as Scooby-Doo. Re-rumble. That just isn't, that's not the right thing to do when you're speaking the word of God. So I won't do that. All right. So the final instruction in Deuteronomy 17 was to be humble. It told the king and to us today, when his heart will, then his heart will not be exalted above his brothers, and he will not turn from the commandment. And that, and it tells us, be humble, not just to Adonai, but to all people. The king was not to exalt himself above his brothers. The king was really just one of the people under Adonai. He just happens to be the one that Adonai puts in charge. And why? So it would prolong his days as kingship, and his sons in the midst of Israel. It was the way that Adonai was going to bless his people. Because if the king was living correctly and ruling correctly, the people would be blessed. That was the point. If we want to prosper in the land that Adonai is giving us, then just like the king, we need to be humble people. Now, let me give you a definition of humble so that we're all on the same page of what humble means. Humility is often defined by the word as a lack of arrogance and having a modest view of ourselves. However, the biblical definition of humility goes beyond that, really. Humility is actually a characteristic of Adonai, and therefore it is critical to have the continuous emphasis on being humble like he is, like Adonai was, like Yeshua was. If we're to be messianic or Messiah-like, we need to act like Messiah. When we look into Philippians at a definition as given by Rav Shaul, he wrote to the congregation of Philippi, this in Philippians 2, starting in verse 3, going all the way down to 9. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourselves, looking out not only for your own interest, but for the interest of others. I read that very slowly on purpose. It's so important. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Messiah Yeshua, who, though existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal to God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the stake. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. The definition as given by Shaul is to place other concern above your own. And the example he gives is Messiah Yeshua, who took on the form of a man. He is God. Yeshua is God. We have to know that first, right? He is just as Adonai, just as the Ruach. 1 and 3, 3 and 1. There's no separating them. One, just different facets of the same God. One God. Only one God. And as that one God, he had armies of angels who could have done anything he told them to do. But he came in the form of a man, who was limited by the body of a man. That's humility. He knew what we needed here on earth. Shed his glorious form in heaven and came to earth because he put us even before himself. That's humility. At any time, when he took on our own form, he could have snapped his fingers and an army of angels would have come down, smoting, killing, destroying anyone who stood in his way. But how many times did he do that? Never. Even when he was going through the temptation in the wilderness, and Satan came against him, all he used was the word. Angels could have come. They would have done battle for him. Gladly, they would have battled for him. It even says in Matthew 4 that after Satan left, the angels came and ministered to him. So they were right there. But he was humble and didn't use everything he had because he knew what needed to be done for others. And he put others before himself. And we're called to be humble as well, not just before him, but before everyone. Although I would say especially towards Adonai, but we're called to be humble to everyone. Regardless of who we are, by accepting humbly the words he gives us, we can gain understanding. So yeah, we need to be humble before him. Because, you know, people are. I know how to do this. I can do it. I know the way. But we need to have his words showing us the way in reality. Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light, giving understanding to the simple. Understanding to the simple. Understanding of what? His word to us and what they should mean to us. That's what he's giving us understanding of. When we read the word, we need to read, remember, meditate on it. To think about it, understand it. Not read it like that newspaper. Read it and see what the article, what the word is actually saying. Because when we read it, and we have to be careful, because how many here know that when you read, even when you read scripture, your own bias goes right on top of it. I'm going through this. Let's see what the word says. Oh, here's what the word says. But our bias is already mixed in. We need to remove that bias out. That's being humble. I'm going to remove myself to see what the Lord says, even though I know what I want it to say. But I'm going to remove myself. I'm going to take myself out of the situation. And I want to see what the true boiled down meaning of what Adonai wants me to know right there. That's getting to know and understand His Scripture. What are you telling me rather than what do I want to put onto it? That's the part of being humble for us when we read. Getting His meaning. And those are the meanings that we need. His meanings. Isaiah 55:8. Of course we know. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It is a declaration of Adonai. For if the heavens are higher than earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And aren't those the thoughts that we want to be guided by? The ones higher than our own. So we need to put aside our biases and be humble enough to read the Word for what the Word truly is telling us. So we're moving into our conclusion. What we need to do is read the Word directly. Remember the Word and humble ourselves before Him and His Word. And we must not allow others to meditate on the Word for us, because that's really what commentaries are. They're meditations on the Word. We need to do it for ourselves more than we need to hear other people's meditations about it. As I said, reading commentary is good, but doing it ourselves is even better. The Word is living, and we know that Yeshua is the living Word. Get to know the Scriptures and the Word for ourselves, for yourselves. Even when I bring up a Scripture, don't say, well, Rabbi says it means this. Go home and read the Scripture and see what it says. And then if it says something and you believe it says something different than what I said it said, then call me, email me, talk to me next Shabbat. Say, hey, you know, you said this. I read it. And here's what I got. Maybe I need to learn something. Maybe we need to talk it over together. That's okay. But we need to turn it over in our minds, regardless who gives us the Word. We need to turn it over in our minds and meditate on it and get to know what it really means. It's not ourself that does it, all on our own. The Ruach is there to help us. The Ruach HaKodesh was given to us to help us understand Scripture. 2 Peter tells us that the part of the Ruach, that's the part of the Ruach in our studies. 2 Peter 1:20 says, above all, understand this. No prophecy of Scripture comes about from a person's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever brought about by human will. Rather, people spoke from God as they were moved by the Ruach HaKodesh. And just like they were moved by the Ruach HaKodesh to put it down onto paper, to take it off of the paper and put it on our hearts, also takes a move of the Ruach HaKodesh. And He is there for us to help us take the Word from paper and put it on our hearts. We need to know the Scriptures by reading the Scriptures. Not just we don't need to know about the Scriptures. We need to know the Scriptures. Commentary should not be the primary place that we do our study. We should be studying out of Scripture and then referring to commentary every once in a while. And then go back to Scripture. That's where we're going to get our knowledge of who Adonai truly is to us. There's a quote from a man, a pastor named James Merritt, about Scripture. He says, the primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, but to know God. All right, I'll say it again. The primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, but to know God. I love that. Right? I've never heard it before until I was reading this week. The purpose is to get to know God. Not to know about God, but to get to know God Himself. Because we can get to know about people by reading other things. I can get to know about someone by reading a biography. But does that mean I know the person? I can read about Abraham Lincoln, and I can know about Abraham Lincoln. Doesn't mean I know Abraham Lincoln. How would I have gotten to know Abraham Lincoln? Only if I sat and talked to him. Only if I got to discuss with him. Only if I got to exchange ideas with him. How do we get to know God? It's not by reading about God. It's by talking to him, discussing with him, exchanging with him. How do we do that? That's prayer and meditation. That's how we get to know him. We can't have a relationship with someone by reading about someone. The only way to have a relationship with someone is to have a relationship with them. The only way you can have a relationship with Adonai is to have a relationship with Adonai. And your relationship with Adonai cannot be a once-a-week relationship. Shabbat is not the only day to have a relationship with Adonai. That means you're missing out on six-sevenths of what he really wants to tell you. You need to have that relationship every day by reading, remembering, being humble, meditating, listening, right? Listening to what he has to say to us. Amen. Father, we just thank you that you let us in to a relationship with you. It starts with your word, getting to read it, getting to remember it, putting it within us so that we can act it out humbly. Ruach HaKodesh, help us as we read your word to get out of your word what you want us to. And then to help us get to know you, to become in relationship with you each and every day. Even if on those days we only have a moment to read a single scripture, help us to get something out of that single scripture that will help us to have a greater relationship with you, which will help us to grow as people and help us to interact humbly with others. Ruach HaKodesh, when we open our scripture, help us to open our hearts so that we may know you better, not just about you. We thank you that you are the one and only, the true King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who created all things. Thank you, Yeshua, that you are the one who came to the earth and humbly took on the form of a man, taking off the glory of a God, of the God, putting on the outer shell of a man, a God who fills the universe, contained yourself into the shell of a man for us. Such humbleness. Teach us to be just as humble as you are. We just thank you that you are the Lord of Lords and that we can trust in you. And then when we turn to you, you will speak to us. We just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. He absolutely positive.